Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello, folks. It's Jeffrey Dardy, the Christian whistleblower. Glad to have you with us for our final broadcast of the week. And we're actually wrapping up the series on demons today. We should be wrapping it up and getting to the end. We've had some great information go out. We've had some paradigms become shaken. And I think that we've even collapsed paradigms. So tune in for this last broadcast. If you've missed the previous broadcast, it's been at least 3 shows, maybe 4 or 5. About demons, I encourage you to go to our webpage, jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com, and listen to those broadcasts that you miss. Now, tonight I'll be on the Church of Mavis radio program. Go to my website to find out information about that. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Here, of course, in the United States of America, in sweltering central Florida. It is hot. Again, August reminding us this is the price we pay for living in Florida in September through April. But anyway, here we go. Demons on the Jeffrey Dardy Show. Something new that I found on, you know, our Unindoctrinate Daily section. Something interesting, you know, sometimes we don't have things to add. We don't add things just to add them. But a former Catholic archbishop found dead ahead of child abuse sex trial. The former papal ambassador to the Dominican Republic had been arrested and charged with pedophile offenses and possession of child pornography last year. And he's been found dead ahead of his abuse trial. Now, I've got to be frank with you. I didn't get a chance to read through the entire article, but you have to wonder, was it suicide, which is, of course, what we would definitely think it was. And sometimes in these situations, you have to wonder, was he suicide-ed? Was this former papal ambassador going to say things, going to let us in on things that the Pope did not want him talking about? And a papal ambassador, that means a guy that's appointed by the Pope. So we're talking about a very highly placed official dead before his child sex abuse trial. So whether he committed suicide or whether he was suicided, very interesting. Look through that article, read it, see what you think, and you can always feel free to let me know as well what you think. So that's Unindoctrinate Daily. That's at jeffreydardy.com. And it's a compilation of news items from around the net. And we encourage you to submit items as well. Just use the Contact Us button on the website. I'll get the link or the information. And if I do use it, I'll certainly credit you who submit it for giving it to us. We definitely want to share any credit where credit is due. And we've been talking for a few weeks about demons, or we've been talking for a few shows, a couple of weeks about demons. And we found out a lot of things. We now understand a lot of things that we didn't understand before. We understand the derivation of these things. We understand where these things come from. We understand where these things are going to. And there's some interesting things for us to go ahead and finish up. We found out and realized that it's only unbalanced energy. It's not demonic beings, as we've been taught. Why is it so scary? Why does it seem to have personality? It's scary because it has attained some level of autonomy and sometimes some level of personality, and it doesn't want you to rebalance it. So it's doing its best to scare you out of rebalancing it. And simply put, it wants to live and is trying to keep you from rebalancing it by getting you into a state of fight or flight. If you fight it, it can use that aggression as energy and strength to grow stronger. Of course, if you get fearful of it and go into flight mode, it can use that energy as well as nourishment. And remember, the majority of unbalanced energy that you confront was actually unbalanced by you. What you're running into is salmon swimming upstream, chickens coming home to roost, and it's your actions that unbalance it, either in this life or in a prior life. The reason why it's so scary to you, it knows all about you, it knows who you are, it knows how you think, and it knows how to push your buttons. Now, you're also confronted by unbalanced energy you draw with unbalanced projections of emotion and intention. This is the law of attraction that no one wants to talk about. And this law of attraction, you could call this you would say the negative law of attraction, but it's not really negative. It's just unbalanced. It could be negative in the sense that energy is positive and negative, but you know what I mean. It's actually not only possible, it's a law. That's why the law of attraction is called a law. It's like the law of gravity. Just because you don't believe in the law of gravity doesn't mean that you can float. And just because you don't believe in the law of attraction doesn't mean that it's not going to manifest in your life and you're not going to deal with the manifestations of it in your life. But you are also confronted by unbalanced energy you draw with your unbalanced projections of intention. That's why the poor me victim mentality is extremely dangerous spiritually. This is a huge point. The poor me victim mentality is especially dangerous to you in a spiritual realm. The poor me attitude is especially dangerous to you spiritually because like attracts like. You attract what you put out. What you put out and project in your intention, things like it are drawn to you. And they then become your burdens to rebalance. So if you have an attitude that says, no one ever gives me a fair shake. I'm always treated wrong. And no one ever gives me a fair shake. I'm always treated wrong. And you say that and you project that, then guess what? That intention that you're projecting goes out into the universe. And I don't mean that in a la la rainbows and unicorns. I mean into the literal universe. It goes out. And if it goes out steadily enough and long enough, then entities and energies that are like that will be drawn to it. And when it's drawn to it, it will then eventually find its way back to the source of these energies. So you can understand, I think, unless you don't have the mental capacity to do so, you can certainly understand why it would not be in your best interest to put out these poor me attitudes constantly, because these poor me attitudes come back to you. And then they're yours to deal with. You know, I have people in my life, and sometimes I want to choke them. They talk about, you know, my cancer and my arthritis and my anxiety. Those are some of the most stupid words a person could ever use. And these aren't stupid people. These are smart people. Why would you take something like a cancer, like anxiety, like diabetes, anything, and call it yours? When you're putting out my cancer intention, when you're putting out my anxiety intention, when you're putting out my stupidity intention, you're going to gather intentions of that like, and they're going to come to you. That's why it's so important to be optimistic. It's so important to be positive, and not just because it's a law, love and light type thing, but you're actually going to get back what you put out. And it's so important not to put out on, it's so important to monitor what you put out on a consistent basis. And what you really should do is, it's kind of a two-step process. Let's talk about something that's not so scary. We'll talk about anxiety. My anxiety, stop yourself. Don't say my anxiety, say this anxiety. Now you've taken it for being yours and aligned and identified with you, and you've objectified it. You've got it into a neutral place. So my anxiety just kills me. And why would you make a statement like that? Because you're saying, anxiety, come kill me. You know, Yeshua said, by our words we are justified, by our words we are condemned. By our words we speak life, or by our words we speak death to ourselves. So my anxiety keeps me from being happy. First step is, get rid of, it's not yours anymore. This anxiety prevents me from being happy. It's hard for me to say that because it's a baby step, but it's a step. So number one, you objectify it. It's not yours anymore. It's just a neutral, it's not my anxiety. Now it's this anxiety. And then you work on that back end. Step two would be, instead of saying this anxiety is keeping me from being successful, you can say this anxiety, turn it into a question. How can this anxiety be used to my benefit? And then your brain will start answering those questions to you. And it'll give you ways that anxiety can be used to your benefit. And if there aren't any, it'll tell you that. And then finally, your last step is to realize it's not my anxiety, it's just anxiety. And then when you start feeling anxiety, you begin to say, I have perfect peace. I have great confidence. You just replace it. It's really not that difficult, but it does require a commitment to you wanting to do it. And of course, it's like anything else. I can't make you do it. I can just bring you to the truth, but I can't make you think. So anyway, like attracts like. You attract what you put out, and things are drawn to your projection. Things of like intention are drawn to your projection, and then it becomes yours to rebalance. If you are putting out, man, I'm going to kill myself. I think I should kill myself. Guess what? The entities out there of suicidal intention will gather to you, and you've become, it's a much bigger problem than it was at the beginning. And this is what happens. And you say, Jeff, this is crazy. Why would there be suicide entities, and why would there be anxiety entities, and why would there be cancer entities and all that? Well, let me explain something to you that you've probably never heard before, and you'll probably never hear from anyone else anywhere else. This stuff is just that good. Let me explain to you what happens when a energetic essence, a soul we'll call it, ascends from this physical plane. When a soul ascends from this physical plane, and, you know, ascends is one of those la-la, love and light, new age words. When a soul reaches a level to where it is able to move to a higher plane of consciousness, it doesn't mean that that soul is 100% ready to go to a higher plane of consciousness. It just means that most of it's ready to go, and it's like a balloon. A balloon is not filled with 100% helium. Helium is what lifts it. There's still some oxygen in there, still some nitrogen in there, still some other gases, but yet the balloon lifts. And when your spiritual essence gets to the place where it can rise to the next level of consciousness, doesn't mean it's 100% ready, but it means most of it's ready. And as the essence rises to a higher level of consciousness, those things that aren't ready, those things that aren't helium, if you will, those things fall off in the astral realm. It's like when the rockets used to go up and the stages would fall off and burn up in the atmosphere. That's what's supposed to happen. The cuttings from the vegetables, as Dr. Andy Toltec says, the parts of you that aren't ready for the rise to a higher level of consciousness, they fall off. Literally, they disassociate in the astral plane because they can't exist beyond that. So they get really, it's more like being caught in a net, to be honest with you. This realm has a net of a certain size. The astral realm has a net that's a little bit smaller than this size, but it the next level of consciousness has a net that's even smaller in its openings than the astral realm. So the things that are not able and are not worthy to move up, when a essence leaves this realm to go to another realm, they get stuck. They fall off and get stuck in the astral plane. Now, the astral plane is really, by and large, a, what do they call those things where you dump all of your, it's a compost pile. The astral realm is, by and large, a compost pile. And it's there for the cuttings of the vegetables. It's there for the pieces of essences, of spiritual essences. It's there for unbalanced energies to disintegrate and then fertilize the spiritual essence of the universe. This is some deep stuff. But sometimes, somehow, these pieces find a source of nourishment and are able to stay alive. Sometimes they even become corporeal with enough directed intention. So this is what happens when you're putting out, even the most confident a person could have a part of their spiritual makeup that contemplates suicide. That falls off as they rise to another level of consciousness. And here's this suicide essence. Here's this anxiety essence. Here's this cancer essence. Here's this hatred essence. Here's this meanness essence. Here's this self-righteousness essence, this hypocritical essence. You see where I'm going with this? And when you're putting out intention, it's going up into the astral, and it's like the bat signal. It says, hey, here's some intention of this nature, and here's where you can find it. And these things will follow that light back down to the source. And sometimes they can become corporeal enough with enough directed intention that they can manifest themselves. This is fascinating stuff. A lot of you have never even taken time to think about this. And the reason why your angels, your spirit guides, your ascended masters are so powerful is because you haven't taken the time to think about this. I'm going to blow you away right here. 99% of the time, what you call angels are astral trash, cuttings of the vegetables, unworthy pieces unworthy of ascension that have fallen off. 99% of the times, that's what your angels are. 99% of the times, what you call spirit guides are astral trash. 99% of the time, what you call ascended masters are astral trash. Maybe I'm not being clear enough. 99% of the time, what you call your angels, what you call your spirit guides, what you call your ascended masters, 99% of the time, they are astral trash. They are leftovers. They are soul scraps that were meant to go into the compost pile and rot and become fertilizer. They're dung, really. D-U-N-G. And this, folks, is what you're listening to. 99% of the times when you're listening to your angels and you're getting your guidance from a piece of astral trash. And like Yeshua told us, as reported by Luke, they tell their friends, hey, man, there's this chick over here. She thinks I am an angel. And she believes every line I feed her. and she's got great energy, and man, she keeps me fat and happy. In fact, I'm so full that I'm going to let you know where she is so you can go feed some too. There's both of us. They tell their friends. So it's not just the Catholics and the Protestants that you need to watch out for. You need to watch out for anyone or anything that seeks to get them to serve you, for you, to get you to serve it, to get you to serve him, to get you to serve her. Do you wonder why I say be your own guru? Because when you're your own guru, you're serving your own self. You're serving your own intention. You're serving your own ascension. You're nobody's slave. You're nobody's fool. When you're your own guru, you can be sure that you're not, that your guru's not a piece of astral trash. If you're your own guru, you can be sure that your guru is not a piece of astral trash. I say guide your own spirit. If you guide your own spirit, you can make sure that your spirit guides aren't astral trash. If you master your own ascension, you can make sure that your ascended masters are not astral trash. Well, Jeff, I can't do the things that they do. Yes, you can. You're just too lazy to take the time to learn how to do it. So take the time. Learn how to do it. And learn that anyone or anything that seeks to have you serve it, to serve him, to serve her, that's wrong. If you have an angel counselor that wants you to keep coming back on a weekly basis and paying your $25, $35, $45, $55, you need to question that situation. If you've got a spiritual counselor or a psychic that wants you to come back week after week after week, months after months on end, they're ripping you off, bro. Now, I am a spiritual worker. I do have people that come to me on a weekly basis, but none of them come more than about 6-8 weeks, at least to work on the same thing. Because guess what? I'm not here to be your nursemaid. I'm here to show you how to do your own work. So you may come to me to help me help you get rid of unbalanced energy that's afflicting you in a way that seems to you demonic. Well, I'm going to help you for the first 1, 2, 3 weeks. And then I'm going to say, okay, look, I'm not doing your work anymore. I'm going to show you how to do the work. And the true spiritual worker, the true guru, the true person that really is trying to help you is not giving you a fish every day or every week. They're teaching you how to fish so that you don't need them anymore. The true spiritual worker works his or herself out of clients in a short time. That's why they never have to worry about having clients. What the world are you talking about? I don't have to worry about getting spiritual clients because the ones that I have had and that I get rid of because I'm not going to help them anymore because guess what? They don't need my help. And these people that have spent 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, sometimes 10, 12 weeks with me, they'll say, man, Jeff hooked me up. He didn't just keep giving me a fish. He taught me how to fish. And man, after 3 months, I knew how to do it myself, so I don't have to go to him anymore. That's what you want. That's what you want to be if you're a spiritual worker, and that's the type of spiritual worker you want to have if you need a spiritual worker. The people that want you to come to them week after week after week, month after month after month, year after year after year, are ripping you off. They may not know it. They may not have a bad intention, but they're stupid, and they're charlatans. You don't have to know you're a charlatan to be a charlatan. It's not just the Catholics and Protestants that are trying to rip you off. It's not just the Catholics and Protestants that are trying to lie to you. It's not just the Catholic and Protestants that are trying to be profiteers preying on you. Wow. Interesting stuff here today. Interesting information here today. So let's wrap this up, kind of recap so we understand exactly where we are. Christianity wants you to believe in demons. They want you to believe in demons. Roman Catholics want you to believe in demons. Roman Protestants want you to believe in demons. I believe even some Jewish rabbis want you to believe in demons, like the Kabbalah Center type people, because they want to perpetuate that original sin idea. Because when you perpetuate that original sin idea, it perpetuates the need for you to come to the church, be it Catholic, be it Protestant, be it Jewish, be it Islamic, that can free you from that original sin. Because if there's no original sin, then there's really no need for a church. So Christianity, Abrahamic religion, wants to perpetuate the original sin idea, and they want to perpetuate fear. They want to perpetuate fear because as long as they can keep you afraid, they can keep you coming, running home to mama, the mother whore of Babylon. And they also want to perpetuate the dualistic good versus evil. So you'll keep fighting the battle and you'll keep seeing them as your warriors and as your saviors. The idea of an external enemy only they can defeat. That's what they want to keep in your mind. They want to keep you in fear because if they can keep you in fear, they can keep you in bondage. And the whole idea of exorcism and its practice makes you more susceptible to being religionized and demonized, and they know it. They know it. We have to stop perpetuating fear in the hero clergy because it keeps us subservient. We have to stop perpetuating these unbalanced energetic entities. Demons are not demons. They're unbalanced energy. We have to stop this cycle of possession, casting them out, letting them run around, find somebody new or somebody old. We've got to rebalance, not resist. It's mostly our energy anyway. And we have to be mindful of what we do spiritually. We have to break out of the old good versus evil mindset because it's another Christian mind trap. Now, there are a few really bad things out there. Fallen angels, ETs, dimensional beings, whatever they are, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Be smart. Call for backup if you need it. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty. I'm your Christian whistleblower. I'll be back with you next week. Until then, visit jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, and we'll get you hooked up and helped out. Until next time, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty reminding you, unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.
Don't forget to catch me tonight on the Church of Mavis radio show at 7 p.m. Eastern. Go to my website, jeffreydaugherty.com, to find out how you can tune into that broadcast.